Hey there, friends. Welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day. And we're glad you joined us here for the conversation as we discover what real joy looks like in the exciting book of Philippians. Let's go ahead and hear what Kurt has to say.
Welcome back, my friends, to today's episode of Everyday Truths. Our conversation in the book of Philippians. Really enjoying the last couple days, whether or not you are. I know, John, you and I have just enjoyed talking about prayer and the Lord and all the reasons we can rejoice in Him.
It's been very exciting, Pastor. It's great to look in the Scripture as we talk about it, even in this podcast and in these episodes. And, you know, God works in my heart as we work through these passages together.
So God's peace can guard our thinking, can guard even us emotionally during some of the most stormy waters of life. And in this theme of our mind, and because it's really, you win the battle of the mind, then you win the battle of life. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he, the writer of Proverbs said. So we're entering now a section in Philippians where, again, back to chapter 2, again, the Apostle Paul says, listen, guard the way you think. So here we are in Philippians 4 in verse 8. Let me read the verse, and then, John, I'm going to have you. We won't have time to go through every word, but let's talk about the verse in general and make the application. So verse 8, my friends, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, and then here's the admonition, the imperative, think on these things. So, guarding the mind.
You know, it is, as we see throughout the Scriptures, it is an important principle that what we think about truly will impact who we are and what we do. It is what we think about does nourish us in our soul, and what we think about can either lift us up and help us grow stronger like Jesus Christ or pull us down. And Paul here covers several words that reminds people they need to think about things that really are in reality, that are true. A lot of people, you know, get weighed down by things that really are not even true anyways. They're not reality. They're things that Satan brings into their mind. You know, sometimes Satan will get people, you know, to doubt their salvation, something that they're secure in, and yet they allow untruth to come in, and it weighs them down. And that we could use that illustration in a myriad of other areas where Satan brings things that are ugly thoughts. They're not wholesome thoughts. They're not pleasing thoughts. They're thoughts that are against who God is and what God has done, and those will always pull us down spiritually.
So it's really a verse to say, guard your mind, guard what comes into your mind. So when we think about what comes into our minds, we think about the gates. And the gates by which information enter our mind, the gate of the eyes, the gate of the ears, I guess audio, visual, those would be the two main ways by which information comes into our life. And so we guard it. So what's happening here is the Apostle Paul is giving us a list of gatekeepers. So make sure that before something comes through your eyes, it's going to follow the rubric described here, true and honest and just and good report and all these things. Before we listen to something, information, whether it be through media, social media, television, Netflix, personal conversation, just begin to apply these principles as guards to what we allow into our lives.
You know, if we were to follow this verse as we ought to at all times, it surely would curtail how much is on social media that doesn't follow this list. How people get a rumor, and before they even know if it's true, or even if it is true, something that ought not be just repeated, people start thinking all these things or propagating these things. And Satan delights in that because that gets us away from where God wants us to be at.
And it's a twofold sword, because not only does the negative information now fertilize and foment in our hearts, in our minds, and robs us of our joy, right? But it also then negates the time we ought to be spending imbibing good information and filling our hearts and minds with things that are productive. So it's a double-edged sword. It's I'm eating garbage and I'm not eating what's good. And then I'm wondering why I don't feel well.
Exactly right. And you're right, Pastor. It's not enough to not think about negative things. We have to be proactive and we have to think on these things. Because as we think on these things, as we meditate upon the Word of God and other truths of God that are not even in His Word, as we meditate upon things that God brings into our lives that are wholesome and pure and all these ideas, then that is what helps us to grow. It's not enough to be neutral. We really can't be neutral anyways. We're always thinking about something. And so we need to make sure that they're following this list.
And you stole my thunder there because I was just about to say, and the idea is that we think on these things, that we spend some quality time meditating, giving thought to these categories. And I think in our society, that's becoming increasingly a more difficult thing to do. We're do, busy. The background of our life is always noise, always music, always people, always events. And we don't take much time to proactively think on things, just to stop and meditate.
You are right. So many things crowd for our attention now. And, you know, you have your cell phone with you, you know, you have it up to your car, talking to people while you're driving. I was encouraged by a pastor many years ago that whenever you drive, whenever he told the congregation, whenever you drive, sometimes don't have anything on. Just be communing with God, thinking of things, taking that time. And I know we all are busy and we say, oh, how can I take the time to stop and reflect? Well, first of all, it is necessary that we do stop and reflect. It is a part that we have got to make happen. But we can find time when we can do this if we make it a priority.
Yeah. So my advice would be listen to Everyday Truth and then turn it off and meditate. But I think you get the idea that we really do need to spend some time. Just, I remember when I'd pastored for a number of years, and then I'm pastoring now in Virginia. But in between pastorates, I had about a six-month hiatus where I was seeking the Lord's will. I remember a friend of mine asking me and saying, you know, now that you're not pastoring, what are you doing with all of your time? And of course, I was staying busy, but I wasn't offended by the question. But I remember what I said. I said to him, I said, I'm spending a lot more time thinking. I'm spending a lot more time just stopping and pondering. And I think it's important that we recapture this biblical discipline of meditation. It's not meditation in a transcendental way, in a clear your mind of everything way. No, it's meditation on the things of God. So bringing in good information and then stopping and ruminating, allowing, chewing the cud is the biological illustration of meditation, letting those truths do their work in our life.
You know, and God does want us to carve out time where it's just us, and we're just thinking about things about God. We're meditating upon who God is. And God does want us to just carve out time, just make it happen where we are spending time thinking about these things. And then throughout our day, this is to be our general principle, that these guide what we think about. This is the framework that it comes through.
But thinking is not an end in itself. So we definitely want to bring in good information into our lives. So guard your eyes, guard your ears, guard the information that comes into your life, and then take that guarded information, meditate upon it, think about how this truth applies to your life. Think about how these principles can be applied to your life. And then here's what you do with it. Verse 9, those things which you have both learned and received. So those things that have entered into that filter, and that rubric, learned and received and heard and seen in me do. So the Apostle Paul said, okay, so I've given you a list of things that can provide some guidelines for your thinking. Okay, but now that you've meditated upon these things, and by the way, the things that you've seen in others, things that you've seen in me, then do them. Because at the end of the day, We are called to be people of action. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So it's not just enough to have good thoughts. You know, good thoughts ought to generate into good actions, a life of service to the Lord.
Your statement, Pastor, reminds me of James 1, where James talks about, you know, don't be a hearer only, but be a doer of the word. And it's not just enough to read the Bible. It has got to be something that we live out in our daily lives. And that's what Paul wants them to realize. He takes them back to a principle he gave back in chapter 3. You know, they've seen Paul's example and Paul's dedication for Christ. And Paul, again, he's not being arrogant here. He's not being prideful. He's just saying, you have seen how I've walked for Jesus Christ and lived for Christ. You've seen my example. Now you go out and you do likewise. People are all the time looking at examples, either negative or positive, and Paul wants them to follow the example he's given to them in his following Christ.
And it's a great principle on leadership. Many of you listening right now are leading in some way, shape, or form. Certainly every mom or dad is a leader. But insofar that we lead, I think the Bible principle here is we don't ask people to do things that we don't first model ourselves. I love how the book of Acts begins, where Luke says, the former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. And isn't it interesting, as Luke made a synopsis of the entire book of Luke? He said the book of Luke was a matter of what Jesus did and then what Jesus taught. So see the order? He did it and then he taught it. So often in modern teaching, modern leadership, we're pointing people, we're pointing to people the way, and that's not leadership. Leadership is not pointing where people should go. It's beckoning for people to follow, and there's a big difference there.
And that is a great leadership principle that we find in Scripture, where even in John 13, Jesus commands his disciples to love one another, and he adds, you know, as I have loved you. And he gave them the example. And so, as you mentioned, Pastor, Jesus was the great leader and said, you've seen what I have done, now you do likewise. And all of us, as Pastor referred to a moment ago, a great principle that we go out and we follow Christ and we point people the way that they need to walk by how we're living.
And I love the promise. So do these things, he said, and the God of peace shall be with you. And that's a testimony. The Apostle Paul said, hey, follow me. You might walk down some dark trails. You might walk down some stormy paths. There might be some pain along the way. But remember what I just told you? You have the resource of prayer. You have the resource of supplication, thanksgiving. God's going to garrison your heart and mind. God's going to be with you. God's never going to lead you to a place that he will not accompany you.
And I love how Paul comes back to the peace of God. And this is an emphasis in this section of Scripture here, because it is what Satan wants to steal from us. He wants us to steal the peace that God has given us. You know, I think of Romans 5:1, you know, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. At the point of our salvation, we know we have peace with God, and God wants us to remain in that peace and walk in that peace and not allow circumstances to pull that away from us and get us away from where we ought to be with God.
So as teachers, we'll kind of conclude with this, John, but as teachers, we look at those four words. So people that go on for, that apply information are people that learn it. So we need to be careful teachers. They receive it. So that on the part of the listener, there needs to be a heart reception. So it's not just a cram this information into your brain, but there needs to be a heart level receiving of the information. So they learn it, they receive it, they hear it. So it's a matter of hearing, not just audibly, but hearing for the purpose of obeying. And then they see it in others. They see an example of this truth. Oh, that's what prayer looks like. That's what serving other people looks like. That's what forgiveness looks like. They've seen it in the Apostle Paul. So, boy, that's a strong teacher that can give information in a way by which people can learn it and receive it, hear it, and then see it in us.
Yeah, it is a great reminder for all of us, whether you're parents, whether you're teachers, no matter where you're at, as you influence people, the process Pastor just talked about is the process that God wants us to have in mind as we work with other people.
And my friends, I hope that you'll take these things to heart today. Even spend some time today. You've heard some good principles from the Word of God. Hey, think about them. Think about them. Maybe even now you would have a moment to stop and think through your life and your day and the principles God shared with you. How will you apply them in your own life? God bless you, my friends. Have a great day.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If everyday truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.